Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints. Welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. Again, I'm privileged, I'm highly favored, and blessed to have this opportunity to come and speak life to you again today. Thanks to God. We pray that your day is blessed wherever you are around the world. We're very excited about this week's message, where we're going to be talking about understanding grace. Yes, we're going to be talking about how once we fully understand grace, we will operate in faith and obedience unto God. And so I pray that you have your Bible, paper, and pencils. You will take notes, study along with us. We always encourage you to do this, children of God, because we want you to be able to search the scriptures right along with us to see whether the things that we say are so or not. So do take the time to go ahead and do that now. And if you're taking notes, we're going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 as a foundational text for this week's message. And so we're going to use some other scriptures also to talk about how grace, faith, and obedience work together. But until we fully understand grace, we won't be able to operate in faith or the obedience that is required in order for God to get the glory that he deserves. So if we want to go ahead now, take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 reads, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Understanding grace. Let us pray. Glory and honor to you, Father, now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for every person who's listening to the sound and hearing my voice. I thank you for their life. I thank you for their health and their wealth. We bless and we praise your holy name for their salvation, for provision and deliverance in their lives. Thank you for the living word of God that is being spoken and studied today. Help us to fully understand and appropriate grace in our lives. Help us to understand the true meaning of what grace is. Help us to be able to show examples of those who have been saved by grace through faith. May our actions, may our words, may our thoughts line up with your perfect will, O God. So I thank you today for every person. I thank you for their faith. I thank you for their obedience. And we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, again, saints, I welcome you to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. Today, we're talking about understanding grace. I want you to say that with me. Understanding grace. And we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 as a foundational text. And we're going to put this in context as the Apostle Peter is writing to the early church, and we're going to look at several other examples of what grace is as we understand it, looking at the examples of Jesus and some more of the writings of the apostles. Perhaps the Apostle Paul also gave us some great insight in his letters to help us to understand what grace means. Many of us, we have a working knowledge of grace. Typically, we use the definition of grace as unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God. But really, that's just the foundation for understanding grace. If that's the definition that you have for it, that is only a foundation of knowing grace as the free and unmerited favor of God that is manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. That is a foundational understanding of grace. But if we go to a much more advanced understanding of grace, we'll see how that translates into faith and obedience. For if we are truly grateful and thankful for this free and unmerited favor that God has given us, we show this through our faith and our obedience. So, children of God, if you are not walking in faith and walking in obedience, you don't have a full understanding of grace. For if we understand grace the way that the Bible speaks to us about it, and the way that the Apostle Peter here speaking to the early church, we will live a life of faith. We will live a life of obedience. So that's why I'm excited to bring this message to you today, and we think that the Holy Spirit will continue to use this message to bring some of us, or maybe all of us, to a higher level of understanding of grace. So we see in this text, Peter, was writing to the early church. The scriptures that we read gave them some of his final thoughts on a particular subject of grace, in order to help them to understand that if you really have embraced the accurate knowledge, the accurate understanding of what grace means, then you will exhibit it in these ways. And these are some of the same things that I'm trying to get us to go to today in this message. Again, Peter says in verse 8, he says, above all, love each other deeply. When you fully understand grace and the love that God has for you, you will love each other deeply. He tells the reason why, because love covers a multitude of sins. As we talk about this subject, understanding grace today, we can get a better understanding of what Jesus meant when he says, in what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer, when he says, forgive others as they have forgiven you. See, when you fully understand grace and the love that covers a multitude of sins, as Peter is mentioning here, you tie that into what Jesus was teaching his disciples, that you forgive others as God has forgiven you. That means you fully understand grace when you do that. If you're not able to forgive others, then you don't fully understand grace. That's what Jesus was basically saying in what we come refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps we'll get a chance to take a look at that as we go through this lesson. But you see again, Peter says in verse 8, above all, when you fully understand grace, you will love each other deeply. And he gave the reason. He said, because love covers a multitude of sins. The second thing that Peter mentioned and that we need to embrace today is that we will offer hospitality to one another. And here's the attitude you have as you do it, he said, without grumbling. Hallelujah. And then finally in verse 10, he says, in each of you, if you fully understand God's grace, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Glory and hallelujah, thanks to God. I don't think most of us look at grace as a foundation for the next two steps of faith and obedience. But I want you to know today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that if you understand the foundation of grace, the next two steps, faith and obedience, should accompany your understanding. And these are some of the ways in which the Apostle Peter spoke to the early church, that grace means that you have been freely saved, you received a gift that you did not deserve, which is the salvation of your souls. And then, but he began this chapter by talking about some of the things the people were saved from. He wanted his readers to remember where God had brought them from. He wanted them to remember what God had done for them. He wanted them to remember the life they used to live before they received this free grace, this unmerited favor of salvation. And that means that you receive something in spite of yourself, not because of yourself, but in spite of yourself, in spite of your past life, in spite of the way you used to live, the things you used to do, the places you used to go. So let's back up a little bit and look at verse number 1 of this First Peter chapter 4, to understand what it means to live for God. This is what Peter was using this text to remind his readers, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will also use this text today to remind you what it means to live for God. So in verse 1, he begins to read, and also I want to make this comment that you know that when we read the Bible, it has been broken up into chapters and verses, but of course the original letters were not written that way. So even as we began with verse 1 of this chapter, we see that it is a continuation of a preceding thought. Because no one starts a thought with therefore. So if you want to get it in even greater context, you want to read chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, and in fact read the entire letter of 1 Peter to understand the complete context of what he was writing to the early church. But for the sake of our discussion today, we're going to look at verse number 1 in order to tie in our foundational texts in verses 8 through 10. So he's reminding the early believers of how they used to live, where God had brought them from, what life was like prior to receiving this free gift of God's grace. He says in verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin, or has put away sin, or turned away from sin. You have truly repented from an old life to a new life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So he says, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. That means it may be hard for some of us to break free from the things that have once held us bound. But through the grace of God, you've been set free. You've been pardoned. And this is why we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain and maintain us in this new life for Christ Jesus. So it may cause a little bit of suffering as you live for God, as opposed to the way you used to live. Verse 2, he says, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. Verse 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans or sinners choose to do. And here's some of the examples that Peter gave of what sinners choose to do and what some of us at one point in time may have chosen to do as well. As opposed to the life they now have in living for God, perhaps some of them, as many pagans and sinners do, live in debauchery, drunkenness, wild parties and orgies and such, lust, drunkenness, carousing, and other detestable idolatry. Verse 4, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless while living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. And then in verse 7 he says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Hallelujah. Now, some of us listening today may be able to relate to what Peter was saying to this body of believers. Some of us perhaps, or maybe even some of us even now, are engaged in some of the things that are related to our sinful nature, our old life. Perhaps you can identify with this description that Peter gave, that saying that we have spent enough time there. If you're still in this situation and you're struggling and you're wrestling within your body And there's a war between your body and your spirit. That is a spiritual warfare. One thing is trying to hold you where you are or keep you bound to your past, when the spirit is trying to loose you with a get-out-of-jail-free card, which is called grace. Somebody say grace. Hallelujah. That's why today we want to talk about understanding grace. It is basically a get-out-of-jail-free card. You've been bound to your sinful nature, but God wants to set you free. And for those of us who understand what that freedom means and what that freedom brings, we will live a life of faith and obedience unto God. But here we see the description of what life was like for some of those that Peter was writing to. And perhaps this is how some of your lives are, or the way your life was. It was a life of sin. It was a life of giving in to your human desires. Living in lust and drunkenness and orgies, carousing and other detestable idolatry, Peter says. And when you step free from that life, there may be many people who were engaged in that same lifestyle with you. As Peter mentioned here in this text, he says that many of those who you were engaged in with these things are surprised that you do not join them, or that you no longer join them in their reckless wild living. And they may heap abuse on you. They may isolate you. They may condemn you. They may laugh and scoff at you. They may constantly try to remind you of the person that you were, because they don't realize the free, unmerited grace of God that you have received. See, grace is available to each and every person, but every person doesn't receive it. It doesn't cost anyone anything. Is a free gift, and if you're struggling right now with the situations in your life that you desire to be set free from, you can receive God's grace for that today. But that is a foundational step as we understand grace. Many times people don't value that which is given to them that costs them nothing, but grace is free to us, but it costs God everything. It cost God the only thing that he ever had. It cost him his own son. It cost Jesus his life. And he offers it to us freely. This is what happens when we understand grace, and when we talk about the Christian definition of grace, this is where we get it from, that it is a free and unmerited favor that God has given to us, or a favor that God has done for us, specifically that Christ has done for us by dying on the cross for our sin in the flesh. And that means that those who are now in Christ are no longer condemned in the flesh. But we should live a life of faith and obedience now. We should turn away. We live a life different. We live an opposite life of the life we once had. That is, if you fully understand grace. And I pray that you will today, saints of God, for it is not enough simply to be saved by grace through faith. We must exercise faith that manifests itself in obedience unto God. For sin is simply disobeying God, going contrary to God's ways, but it is also refusing to do what God has commanded you to do. And this is why today we need to take the step up from our basic foundation understanding of grace. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. That is, for those who have put our faith in Jesus Christ as the one who sacrifices life for our sins. And you have to confess those sins out to God and embrace the sacrifice that Jesus has made on your behalf. That means that you now accept Jesus as your Lord as well as your Savior. And that means now you are commanded to do the things that he commands you to do. This is the faith aspect. And when we do what God has commanded us to do, we walk in the obedience aspect. Somebody say grace, faith, and obedience. These are three parts of a puzzle that God wants us to put together in order to live an effective life, thanks to God. So again, we see here explaining to the readers in this first letter that he wrote. And I pray today that you're beginning to see some of the pieces coming together for you. Yes, you may have express with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You may, I pray that you even believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And that means that now Jesus gave you a free gift. He gave grace to all who believe that. He gives you a free unmerited favor. Jesus did it for you. In other words, he did you a favor by dying in your place so that you can live a free and full life now. I pray that those of you who have not embraced this life will embrace it today. Those of you who have embraced it, that you will live this life fully and understand that grace was the foundation for the next two steps in your life. That is faith and now obedience. So here we see how Paul spoke, we see how Peter spoke to his writers. And then we get to our foundational text that we started out with, which is verses 8 through 10. So if you understand that you once, yet you spent enough time in the past, somebody say in the past, you spent enough time in the past doing what pagans or sinners choose to do or chose to do. And he said that they will give an account. And if you're living in that situation even today, you will give an account. But he wants you to know that because of God's grace, you can live a different life. When we fully understand grace and that we want to make a turn, that is repent, we want to turn away from our past way of thinking, acting, living, behaving, and we want to turn to a new life of living for God. And these are the instructions that Peter gave that we need to understand today if we're going to live for God as well. Verse 8, again, he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. The same love that covers your sin is the same love that covers each other's sins. The same grace that you have received from God freely is the same grace we should extend to others freely. Do you understand grace today, thanks to God? Second thing, again, verse 9, he says, now offer hospitality to one another and do it without grumbling or complaining. Don't make it seem as if it's a burden or inconvenience for you. How much of a burden was your sin that Jesus had to bear it on the cross? How much was a burden or inconvenience of Jesus being stripped naked and whipped and led through the city carrying the weight of the cross, which was the sin of the world? Don't let your hospitality seem as if it's too much to bear for you or you complain about it. So offer hospitality without complaining. This is for those who understand grace, who understand what Jesus has done for them, who understand the condition they were in prior to receiving the gift of God, which is God's grace. And then finally in verse 10, as we're reading today, it says, each of you who understand grace should use whatever gift you have received to serve others now. When once you only serve your own human desires, when you only serve your own needs and wants, you should now that you have fully understood grace and you're living for God, you should live a life of faith and obedience. And these are the three ways, or at least three of the ways, children of God, that it should manifest itself. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Because you have received something freely, you should serve others freely with that gift. This gift manifests itself in so many various ways in our lives. Deliverance, healing, salvation, provision, joy, love, peace, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, self-control. All the various forms that this free gift takes in our life. We should use these fruit of His Spirit and exercise the gift of God's Spirit. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecies, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. wisdom, discernment. We should use all these gifts to serve others. If we fully understand grace, hallelujah, and I pray today that you do. Yes, 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 we are all saved by grace through faith. I'm deeply acquainted with the terminology associated with grace. My ministry is named Amazing Grace Ministries. Our Bible college is named Grace Bible College and Seminary. I understand that I was saved by grace through my faith. It was a gift of God. It was not by my works so that I cannot boast, for I realize that I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prearranged in advance for me to do. If you were to take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, you see where Paul expressed the same message to the Christians in Ephesus. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit is speaking and communicating it clearly to those of you who are listening to my voice today. Today we're talking about understanding grace. Say that with me, understanding grace. And so I talked about earlier about what we come to refer to as the Lord's Prayer, where the disciples came to Jesus and said, ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. We see here that Peter says in verse 7 that be alert and sober-minded that you may pray. I think we need to pray the same type of prayer that Jesus taught us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. I think that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 to 12. He says, first, acknowledge our Father who art in heaven. We praise him for hallowed and honored be his name. For his is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both in heaven, that his will be done in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. And then we say, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. One of the writers put it this way, that if we're not willing to forgive others our sins, how can we expect God to forgive ours? This is what we get when we understand grace. Because you have been forgiven, you should forgive others. Because you have been forgiven, you should love others deeply. Because you have been forgiven, you should offer hospitality without grumbling. And thanks to God, if you fully understand grace today, you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. God gave you his grace to manage and to serve others with in the earth. Oh, praise the name of Jesus today. Somebody say hallelujah. I pray, thanks to God, that this message is getting into you. It's taking you from one level of grace to a different level of understanding grace and take you to another level of faith and obedience in your life. I give God praise today. So, children of God, here we have it, a message on understanding grace and how that translated to faith and obedience. Father, it is my prayer today that each of those who are listening to this message will get a greater understanding of grace today, a greater understanding that will lead into greater faith, a greater understanding that will lead into greater obedience, that will bring greater glory to your name in the earth and above the earth and around the earth. Oh God, may you be glorified through our message today. May each person be empowered with this truth that has been spoken and revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you in advance for this amazing grace that you have given us. And we bless you and we praise you for it. And we thank you for how it's going to manifest in our faith and obedience to you. So hallelujah, we pray, hallelujah, and amen. Glory to God, understanding grace.